Hi, everyone. It's me, your host, Ren. Welcome to episode 3 of Boongo Pod. Today is June 5th, and I am once again joined by Nick, Kai, Siren, Jace, and Kira. Please join our Discord server to listen live and share your very own theories and interact with other Boongo Stray Dogs fans. Today's episode will have a special introduction, and we're just going to get right into it. I'm going to let Nick take over. Go ahead.
Hi, hello, I'm Nick. I hope everybody's having a good afternoon, morning, whatever time you're listening to this. I'd also like to thank the live audience for being here. I actually want to discuss something serious coming from me out of all people, because why Nick? They can't take jack shit seriously. Before anybody says anything, I am in fact Asian, Chinese, and Filipino specifically. I moved back here 5 years ago, and needless to say, it was a culture shock even though I was initially born in the USA. Now that AAPI month is over, I've recently noticed that some people have been showing their true colors regarding their quote-unquote activism. I'm not even going to be subtle. We all know who I'm poking jabs at. I would do something corny and predictable, like clear my throat and say who it is, but I simply do not have the energy. We created this podcast not only to talk about Boongo Stray Dogs and expand our ideas on it as a whole, but we also created it to celebrate Asian culture and literature. Asian authors like Chuya Nakahara and Yunosuke Akutagawa, hopefully I didn't butcher his name too much, have heavily impacted the modern literary scene and have permanently cemented their places in literary history. We want to talk about and acknowledge their achievements within this podcast. I also wanted to address the extreme lack of respect some people have been showing towards these authors. If you've ever purposely disrespected any of these authors in any way, shape, or form, you are not welcome here. You are not welcome to listen. This is not a safe space for you. You are absolutely vile. Now to get on with the actual topic of the episode, we're going to be discussing the real-life connections between these authors. I personally find this topic really interesting, and I'm sure you will too after listening. And some of the stories, which I'm sure you've heard of some of them, are really funny to me. And we'll try to link a reliable charity where the profits go to benefit the AAPI community. Thank you, and I'd just like to pass it on to whoever wants to start the discussion first. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and this platform to speak on this.
Okay, hello everyone. It is Jace. Hello, all you beautiful people. Today I'll be taking a bit of a lead. If you know anything about my content, specifically on TikTok, as Jace Lupin, you'll know that my niche definitely is literary history and connections. And I truly hope that this episode is interesting for y'all to listen to, just as it is for me to write and speak about and research. Just going back to what Nick said and following along with the theme of recognizing Asian and Pacific Islander achievements, even as AAPI month has passed, we as a cast have come to conclusion that taking an episode to focus on some of history's most influential authors is a great idea, as we take time to not only show our admiration, but just our appreciation as well. Without any further ado, I'm going to delve into a short but comprehensive literary history guide. And a flow of connections just from author to author that focused on great Eastern writers first and features, and Boongo Stray Dogs secondly. I think a really good place to start and get some footing would be on Ogai Mori, known personally as Mori Rintaro. Mori's achievements are extremely vast, and I would say his role in Eastern literary history is very unique and very interesting. He was able to obtain his medical license at a very early age and was definitely a feat in and of itself. Not after introducing translated German literature into the Japanese public, which was a very good way to get some new literary ideas incorporated. He was noted as one of the first to introduce Western poetry styles into Japan, which can later influence and even credit mid-20th century Japanese poets, including European influence Nakahara Chuya. So Mori is noted to be the first of any Japanese to actually ride the Orient Express, which I found very interesting, just as a random trivia fact for all of you. After his career that focused on modernizing and expanding the literary scene, he had such a great effect on literature as a whole. Mori heavily influenced other authors at the time, and even those who followed him. And he gave continuous praise to other writers at the time, which ended up not only providing motivation, but providing a even playing field for all of these authors to start and gather inspiration from someone who was a very reliable idol at the time. Notably, Mori publicly praised Higuchi Ichiyo's story growing up, stating Higuchi was a woman of rare ability, and I quote, I truly find this praise of authors interesting, considering his impactful influence for years to come. Even his subtle mentions of other authors, like his name drop of Natsume Soseki in Vita Sexualis, and other emerging writers who craved his influential guidance, such as Tayama Katai, whom was in his military sector at their corresponding times of service in Germany. I read that Katai was often found talking with Mori for guidance and literary advice. So as we discuss authors who had nothing short of absolutely massive amounts of influence in the literary scene, I think this is a very good pivoting point to move to Akutagawa Ryonosuke. So there's absolutely no way to say it other than this. Akutagawa forever changed literature and has some of the most important points in history, especially when narrowed down to Eastern or more specifically Japanese literature. So before we even delve into it, I find it so interesting as we reference an early critique on Akutagawa and his work as an author. The critique compares Mori to Akutagawa, but not in the sense of admiration, but borderline imitation. If you're interested in this discussion further, it's featured in Donald Keene's work, Dawn to the West, who is a very interesting scholar as we get into the Japanese comparisons of literature. Most notably, he translated, most of you, if you own a copy of No Longer Human, you can actually look into it. Donald Keene was the one who translated that from Japanese to English. So he is definitely someone to credit for this expansion of discussion into Japanese literature and Eastern literature as a whole. So I do want to just kind of point that out for anyone who's interested in more research or just for looking for someone to kind of give a notable nod to for history and literary discussion. So Akutagawa's greatest inspirations, aside from Mori Ogai, included people like Natsume Soseki, who actually wrote Ryonosuke a letter of his own admiration after a published short story, Tayama Katai, Izumi Kiyoka, whom he referenced in his own work multiple times, and Kunikida Dappo. So I'm actually quite fond of his stories of admiration, such as keeping a diary inspired by Dappo. So I am pretty sure for you strictly Bungo Stray Dogs fans, you are pretty familiar with Kunikida's ideals and his notebook and his ability entirely based off of his notebook or his diary or however you want to refer to it as. But Kunikida Dappo had this famous diary and it's pretty reminiscent of that ideals journal. So he kept a diary, Akutagawa kept a diary that was very similar to Kunikida's diary, as he just admired him so greatly, and he would write portions of the diary to be a nod to Kunikida. He just admired him so greatly. And Kunikida Dappo himself actually had so many interesting feats. He not only influenced the literary scene by influencing authors such as Akutagawa and Atsushi Nakajima, but he created a scene that sort of focused on the publishing of new and emerging authors. He himself was someone who was a new and emerging author for such a long time, and he never really found his footing as he was alive. And his work mainly gained traction after he passed away, which is a very common theme as you see with most of these authors. And while I do want to contribute it to a theme that you see with other authors, I do also want to make it as a nod to a lot of them wrote specifically about their pride or their cultural ties of being Japanese, which is such a beautiful thing to write about, but it didn't garner as much footing at the time because there were so many political and there were so many cultural strains in Japan and outside of Japan. So it was such a difficult thing to get footing in and to garner discussion in. And some authors didn't like to write about that stuff at all because they knew it wouldn't garner this sort of attention that they wanted, most notably Atsushi Nakajima. So Kunikida Dappo actually ran a publishing company, as I said, it was called Dappo Sha, and he had a very eclectic group of workers that were under him. And I feel like when you speak about it, it's very reminiscent of the Armed Detective Agency. And I think that it's one of my favorite stories. He had a young homeless man. He had a girl that was just very eager to please. Someone who was in love with him. It's never specified if it's a man or a woman. A slacker who never really liked to do his work much. Someone who enjoyed pulling pranks on the rest of the publishing agency. So there are little small nods to how greatly he influenced Japanese publishing that are incorporated into Bungo Stray Dogs, which I find is extremely, extremely fun and very notable. Akutagawa himself, Influence Inside, was one of the most vital aspects of literature. He's accredited for the creation of the Japanese short story, or the modern equivalent, which I would say is a feat in and of itself. I'll be vague when speaking about his influence on Osamu Dazai as we move into him, as I do know our other podcast members are going to speak on it as well. I think at least recognizing the severity of his impact on Akutagawa had on literature as a whole and Japanese literature suffices as we sort of shift and start discussing different literary schools and Osamu Dazai. But before we get into that, I do want to speak about Akutagawa's influence on other authors and his comparison to other authors, because some of them were also some of the most influential people at the time. I think most notably he was compared to Atsushi Nakajima. Now, Atsushi Nakajima actually grew up in Korea. So he did not grow up in Japan, but he did grow up sort of in a very small, like, farm life in Korea with his father. Now, he had so many outside influences of other Asian literature, such as Korean literature and Chinese literature, most notably. Akutagawa also had this extreme influence from Chinese literature, which is a very, very interesting thing to include when you are making a shift from writing, because Chinese literature has a bit of a different phonetic sound, and it is a bit different with the way that it flows in syllables, and the languages are obviously very different, but they have the same sort of syllable count when you are making poetry. So it's a very interesting thing, and like all the types of writing that they did all had the same ties back to Chinese literature, and in Atsushi Nakajima's literature there were ties to his growing up in Korea and his influence from Korean literature. So Atsushi himself lived a very, very subtle life and just kind of grew up, and he had issues with his health and he had issues with his lungs and whatnot, which is a very common denominator with most of these authors. A lot of them were very sickly, especially as growing up, but he lived just a very normal life. But he got into publishing mainly in the last 5 years of his life. He was a school teacher but had to stop teaching. He worked at an all-girls school. He was very well liked. He was extremely, extremely kind, and he was noted to be a very kind teacher, a bit deviating from other people who were teachers, such as Kunikida Dapo, who was just known to be a bit of a hard, loving, but strict teacher. But Atsushi Nakajima himself lived such a very subtle life, and he didn't think that he was interesting enough to use genres such as the eye novel genre, which was popularized by authors such as Osamu Dazai. He didn't think that he was interesting enough to write about. And I find that that's just so interesting, because he had such a great influence on how Japanese literature was written and how it was compiled because of his influence with Chinese literature and how differently that flows when you're speaking. So that in and of itself is extremely interesting. And I think that that definitely deserves some recognition. Both of them were compared greatly, as I said, because of their influences with each other and their influences from Chinese literature. So they definitely had a lot to be thanked for when it came to Japanese literature. So as we talked about the eye novel genre, we can definitely move into Osamu Dazai. So Dazai, known personally as Suzu Tsushima, had some of the most interesting accomplishments, I would say. He's known by all of us and some sense or another, but I think recognizing one of my personal favorite accomplished by him is a very good route to go. So the eye novel genre was popularized by not only such as authors like Dostoevsky, but it includes authors like Dazai. The genre ended up being one of the most popular as a whole during the 20th century. So not just in Japan, it was seen all throughout Europe, and pretty much it extended into the Americas as well. And it was even seen in some of the most popular authors now. Osamu Dazai lived a life that's very hard to summarize in a sentence or two, but I'm extremely sure we'll cover his life in a more detailed manner in an entire podcast episode at a future date. But in totality, Osamu Dazai had an extremely interesting connection to the literary scene and to inspiration entirely to Japanese literature. His connections with Ango Sakaguchi and Oda Sakonosuke are two interesting ones, I would say, including their connection to bringing a new era of literary discussion to not only Japan, but the world entirely. So they were known to be a part of something that is called the Baraiha. I believe that is how you pronounce it, but it's pronounced differently all over because it is known to us English speakers as the Decadent School. So it's known as something called Decadence or School of Irresponsibility. So it was basically this group of writers who didn't fit in other places, who kind of decided to band together and express their own styles of writing. So you may be wondering how a group of misfits will really find footing and influence an entire sector of literature. But they did, because they ended up working together in a sense that ended up having some of the most interesting but notable similarities that you could find throughout their literature for years and years and years after. They had a lot of very public, like, aimlessness and identity crisis of post-World War II Japan. So they weren't a true literary school. I think that's a bit of a misconception. It wasn't a real school that you went to. It was just they were linked together because of a similar approach and literary style. So the most notable writers that we're talking about today from the Decadent School would be Ango Sakaguchi, Sakonosuke Oda, Osamu Dazai, but there were some other very interesting and notable figures. They were able to band together and influence an entire section of literature because of their aimlessness. They inspired such a interesting sector of political and social discussion that had never been done before. It was extremely unpopular to do so pre-World War II, but post-World War II, as the Decadent School was established, they were very, very influential as they garnered support from political parties that leaned more far left, as they garnered support from young students who were trying to find their footing in the world, as they garnered respect from people who didn't fit into a specific box in society. So they did not have a lot of support from people who were a bit more stiff, such as Osamu Dazai's family. Shuji lived a life that was extremely cut and dry for the first years of his life as he was a child and a young adult. His father was a very respected political figure, and politicians did not like the Decadent School. They were not fond of them whatsoever. They found them to be just a group of kids and a group of misfits that they weren't too fond of, and they didn't respect them. But they had such a great impact on Japanese literature because it inspired a level of carefree, just creativity. You can see this notably in other authors who started to get inspired by other European literature, but add a flair that was so unique to Asian literature that is truly admirable. When you see authors and poets such as Nakahara Chuya, who garnered so much respect because of his bohemian writing style. It was free. It was carefree. It was just so new, and it had never been done before. But he took inspiration from what inspired him as a enjoyer of European literature and like French literature and all that good stuff. He took that and he made it his own, and he added a flair that was so unique to Japanese literature itself. When you read his poetry, he has specific portions that are so distinctly Asian. He has syllable counts that don't fit in anywhere. Even translating Nakahara Tsuyu's poetry is something that takes such finite care and such delicateness because it's so unique to the Japanese language. It's something that truly I will never be able to understand as an English speaker because it's something that is so far removed from me, but so admirable. We can get into other authors who had such a unique approach to their writing that it was admired by everyone. When you talk about authors such as Izumi Kiyoka had a very unique flair to his world building and his stories, so much so that Akutagawa Ryunosuke dubbed it Kiyoka's world and would refer to it in his own stories. When he would try to do his own world building, he would just call it, you know, trying to establish his own Kiyoka's world. I find that truly admirable. And, you know, even getting into the times that they had disagreements as authors, when they had their removes from each other, because they were all connected, interconnected in some way, shape, or form. Authors such as Tanizaki Junichiro, who was notably an author who liked to start drama with other authors for some reason or another. He had public drama with both Tsuyu Nakahara and Akutagawa Ryunosuke. His drama with Tsuyu Nakahara was just, you know, some ridiculousness about a poem that Tsuyu had written that involved his cousin. But his public dispute with Akutagawa is more of a literary critique on Akutagawa's part. He had some critiques with his how he viewed plot versus how he viewed needing a literary like a literary establishment. So I definitely can see how you can see all of these authors and not see how much they were connected. But their interconnection not only makes them so vital to literary history, but just by understanding that at the end of the day, they were all, in a sense, these very human people that made literature seem so much more human and so much more personal. I can completely and entirely, with my entire heart, say that Asian literature in and of itself established the humanity of literature. They established something that is so unique to me as someone who studies literature for a job, for a living. I see it as something that was so uniquely personal to these people, especially in the late 19th to early 20th century Japanese literature, with outside influences from Korean and Chinese literature. It is so unique and so personal and so distinctly human that even when you take authors who wrote about their disconnect from society or their aimlessness and their carelessness when it came to being normal or being seen as just a regular human and their disconnect from feeling human, they established something that was so uniquely personal and human that when I see the humanity in literature, I immediately connect it with the study of Asian and Japanese literature entirely. That is pretty much all I have to say, and I'm very glad everyone got to listen to that. It's truly my favorite topic to talk about, and I'm very, very happy that I got to share it with you all.
I guess I can kind of take over from here and bouncing off of for Dazai and Akutagawa, if you all don't mind. God, nobody's talking. This is awkward.
No, just go ahead. It's okay. Like, I wanted, I don't think everyone knows that we, as a podcast crew, we write scripts to make sure that we have a bit of footing when we start to talk. 97% of what I just said was not in a script. I swear to God, I wrote like probably like three paragraphs and I was just like, yeah, okay. And I just kept going. Like, I'm not even lying. Runs on the script right now. And I know that they're thinking that none of that was on script, but like none of that was on the script. So the point is that I want everyone, even in the chat, like you all are a part of this discussion and that's why we do this.
Yeah, it's we do slightly script things just because we need to know what we're talking about, but in the end it just becomes a free discussion. And with that being said, we do have one more bit of story to tell before we completely take over discussion. And Kiri, you can take that over.
I'd be happy to. First off, I just want to give like a quick warning that this talk about Akutagawa and Dazai will have mentions of like suicide. So if that bothers anybody, please don't feel pressured to stay and like leave the voice chat, and we can call you back when I'm done. If that doesn't bother anybody, then I'll just go ahead and go. So I'm sure we all know by now that the connection between Dazai and Akutagawa is extremely different Bungo Stray Dogs than it was in real life. The two were separated in age by about a generation, though, so they didn't actually like know each other personally. But Dazai was the one who looked up so much to Akutagawa during his lifetime and was like one of the biggest inspirations for Dazai's works. Dazai even took on like Akutagawa's like signature pose, which is referenced multiple times throughout season one, I think, especially, as well as official manga art that I've seen going around recently. I think it's also really cool that Asagiri like put in the time, or not, Rokawa was the one who drew it, but like there's those references in there that seems so, like I said, such a small detail, but mean so much to the author's actual lives. It's just a fun little thing to me. But when Akutagawa committed suicide at 35 years old, Dazai was incredibly grief-stricken and shaken to the point of nearly giving up on all of his studies. Just began to write pretty much constantly for quite a while, trying for the Akutagawa Prize multiple times. And I definitely don't want to say that this started, like, I don't know how to word it, like an obsession of sorts with suicide, because that just seems like a disrespectful way to put it, and that is the exact opposite of what I'm trying to do here, but definitely was the spark of his attempts. And again, I feel, like last week, I feel really bad leaving it on that bitter ending, but that's all I really have for right now. And this is going to sound really cheesy, but I really hope these two just know how much people look up to them and their works, especially now.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like it would make them really happy.
Yeah, in a sense, I still have
like a headache, so that was like all over the place.
No, it's fine. We're really bouncing everywhere, and I think that's part of the fun of it. But I think in a sense, Bungo Stray Dogs, because so many of the authors died so young, in a sense it's like kind of a nice second life to give them. And I think it's great that it has the recognition that it does. And I think that so many of us started it for these characters and seeing these characters that were real people. They're not characters, you know? There is obviously a separate, you know, a separation between them, but what I'm trying to say is I think it's so great that we can really delve into not only just Asagiri's mind and what he, how he wants to portray these characters, but all these things, like the role reversals, sort of, especially seen in, like, Ranpo and Po and Dazai and Akutagawa, in a sense. But it's really wonderful. And I think that many of us can relate when I say that these authors are so important, not only to the evolution of literature in general, but to us personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we kind of wanted to take this episode to kind of speak mainly as a reflection of Asian heritage and Asian history to kind of give a nod to how beautiful and how rich it is. It is belated because AAPI month was last month, but you know, the month kind of got a lot of negative connotations towards it, and it was extremely disappointing for us as a podcast crew, at least, to see how it ended and to see how it was treated. Because, you know, when we speak about these authors, it's out of such a place of admiration and respect that I truly don't even think that we can convey to an audience without it sounding ridiculously cheesy. So, you know, like, of course, we had different authors that we wanted to speak about. And, you know, like, we could talk more and more and more and more and more about Japanese literature as an entirety. But there's just so much to cover. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is Bungo Pod. So, you know, like, we're talking about relations to Bungo Stray Dogs. So I wanted to, especially as I talked through my portion, wanted to keep it connected to not only Bungo Stray Dogs, but just mainly Asian literature. So there's so many authors that I could have spoken about that I felt like would kind of deviate from the theme we were going for. Like if I had spoken about Edogawa Rampo, you know, he has so many rich ties into Japanese literature and very interestingly enough kind of inspired new genres, but he had so many ties to literature that was outside of the theme that we were going for, so I didn't want to deviate from that. But at later dates, like, we are so excited to speak about these authors that we look up to so greatly and have such an admiration for, and I'm sure that everyone can agree.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, all of us as podcast crew, we obviously have intense, like, brain rot and hyperfixation on not just the anime, like, the manga and the in-real-life authors. Like, we were talking about this, like, for an hour earlier, like, on voice call, and we just kept rambling about it because it is so important to us and it has such a big impact on us. And it sounds, like, cheesy and cringy, but it's true. Like, we take a look at these authors and we take a look into their backstory and connections, and it just resonates with, I hope, all of us. Like, I think I can speak on all of us for that. It's just such a personal connection you make, and it's almost, I mean, it is admiration. Like, we all adore the, like, the authors. They have their own struggles and they put them so beautifully on paper and with pencil and pens, and yeah, that was all I was gonna say.
Like, again, Jace was mentioned this earlier, but, like, they really are, like, a huge inspiration for me. I'm not a writer. I don't consider myself a writer, but every once in a while I will, like, I don't know, write, like, a short poem just for fun, and, like, they were the ones who inspired that, and I think it's just cool. Can't put my thoughts together right now, but it's really cool.
No, like, absolutely. I completely agree with you when it comes to that aspect. Like, as someone who is, you know, a writer, not just as, like, hobby, but as, like, a professional level, it's so interesting to me that I get to have these people to look up to. I consider myself extremely lucky that I'm at a level that I can admire these people, and I could admire these authors, and I could admire these extremely interesting ideas that were brought to the table. You know, I could live in a time previous to when any of them were introduced. And at that point, I don't even know if some of the biggest influences I ever had for being a author would even exist. You know, like, I have expressed interest in writing my entire life, but I doubt that I would have the motivation to keep fueling that fire if I didn't have these authors that were such a influence on literature entirely. You know, without them, there would be such a lack of writing that is just extremely, extremely weird to look at. You know, there would be a lack of structural writing in the sense of short stories, how they're presented now. There would be a lack of poetry influenced by Europe, but having a very unique pentameter to it, and a very unique syllable count. Stuff like that we see as normal, and, you know, you read in school, would just not exist because of the lack of influence that all of these authors that we just discussed for, you know, half an hour had. And I find it just so not only interesting, but just like absolutely mind-blowing and beautiful that I can't even format it into words properly. You know, to speak about how much these authors mean to me and to admire the flow that they had with their words and the beautiful things that they wrote, and then to completely admit that I'm at a loss of words and things to say that would sound equally as flowy as they do in my head is a bit embarrassing. But it's true. I like, as I look at these people, I just lack something that would even begin to express my state of mind when it comes to them.
I want to add another thing real quick. Sorry.
I was thinking of saying this earlier, but if you know me and my content, I'm not really heavy on literature or literary references, but I really wish I could put into words how much I truly admire these authors, and I'm pretty sure I could say the same for almost everybody here. They won't go Stray Dogs itself, and their writing has helped me get back into literature because I was into it a couple of years back, but I grew out of it for some reason. And these books, these novels have really inspired me to start writing again. Of course, I'm not writing at a professional level like Jace, but it really did restore one of my hobbies that have helped me improve my mental health. And that's, I really can't put into words how much I truly value these authors and literature. So yeah, that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. Like, I know my mom is especially happy with this because she's an English major, but if it were not for these authors and this show, I would not be reading as much as I am now. Honestly, yeah. I'm really glad I am.
I'm
really, really slow at it. But I'm enjoying it, and I'm glad I got back into it. I really am.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us Bungo Stray Dogs fans, there's a sort of a pipeline from, you know, from the Gifted Kid Burnout to Bungo Stray Dogs obsession of sorts, and it has brought me back into reading and writing, and I just want to explore it more and more. I think with the actual manga and show, analyzing that and researching these real authors and their connections to each other and connections to the characters, it really is like an exciting new world of kind of literature, writing and reading, and it's silly to say, but it really has brought me back into these hobbies that used to mean so much to me, and you know, now they do again. And I've always been super passionate about like reading and writing and just kind of the more artistic side, but I that's the thing with this podcast, is it's really giving me and I think all of us an outlet to really express our thoughts in all of this, and I think that's really, really important and really nice, a really nice way of expression, because you know, stuff like TikTok is limited, you know, you could get a little bit in here and there, but then it's all like, you know, once you see one thing, it's kind of like the community tends to focus on sort of one aspect. And I think it's important that we explore all the aspects. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, on TikTok, when a topic seems to be brought up, there seems to be some sort of echo chamber, and it's just the same thing over and over again. And this podcast just gives us an opportunity to further, I guess, dive into those topics that we do bring up. And it's a nice outlet. It really is. And I really can't thank people enough for giving me this opportunity to speak and discuss with people who share the same interests as me.
Oh yeah, and you know, like when it comes to the podcast, that's we have so much that we need to discuss and that we want to discuss, but we can take opportunities like today's episode to speak about something that's not only important to us, but it should be important to everyone else. You know, as we kind of wanted to gear more towards talking about the respect and the discussion surrounding Asian heritage and Asian culture. Because it's truly frustrating to see sometimes how it's treated on other platforms. And here we have control of our own platform, in a sense. We can control how people are speaking here. And we can kind of make sure that everything is in line with how we think and what we believe, which is never anything controlling. It's simply respect. And, you know, as we take today's episode to kind of just like, let everyone know such a rich history and to have a discussion like we did today. I find it so vital to take time like this, like we did today, and do something like that. And, you know, places like TikTok, there's opportunities to have discussion, but it can be met with such harsh criticism and such harsh disagreement when there really shouldn't be any. And there's a lot of people on places on the internet that really don't deserve their platforms, and they don't deserve the discussions that are being held about them. And I feel like the first step to being aware, not only with respect and culture, but just being a kind person and having that sort of respect towards everyone, is to recognize how many positive discussions you're having and how many insightful comments you are making and how many times you're able to sit and just discuss something without it being in a setting that's extremely public or just in an echo chamber, just like Nick said. And to hear things that are aside from your own thoughts once in a while and just be able to bounce ideas off of one another and have positive, constructive conversation is probably my favorite thing about the podcast in and of itself.
I will say that's also, like, why I was super excited for last week's episode, because, like, I made a video that had, like, the base information about those two, but, like, being able to, like, dive into it more, like, hear other people's thoughts about it. Again, just that whole, like, list of people, like, this was super interesting, I'm so happy you talked about this. It was great, man.
I also feel like this podcast, or this episode specifically, establishes our opinions towards Asian culture and literature and how much we do as a cast truly respected. And I hope I made this clear enough earlier in my little monologue I had, but if you purposely disrespect any of these authors, you are vile. You are actually disgusting. And yeah, I really just wanted to say that this is a place to appreciate the author's works, achievements, and what they've done to impact literary history and how it affects us today. And as Jace said, some of the things that we read won't be the same without the influence of these authors.
Exactly. I think, although there has been quite a bit of discourse going on, especially on Bungo Stray Dogs TikTok fans, specifically, and I think in a sense it's an important discussion to have. I think there does need to be a separation between the author and the character, which I think we all know that by now, and I think that using blatant disrespect towards not only, you know, the characters but the authors that they are based off of, it shouldn't be tolerated. And I think a lot of what is happening within the fandom at the moment is really honestly awful. It's so unnecessary, because I think that we should really be coming together as a community and celebrating and researching and just altogether respecting what we are so passionate about. I think a lot of obviously drama is inevitable, but I think that we need to come together and sort of not just eliminate it, but just stop partaking in it altogether, because I feel as though it just brings on this negativity that we don't need here, because this is more than any other fandom that I've, like, it's so much more than, like, a fandom. I wouldn't even use that term for it if it wasn't so easy to, because I think that everybody within it is so incredibly smart, and I think that we can do so much more than what we kind of have been doing lately.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. It's really saddening seeing the way people treat these authors as if they're literally just circus attractions, when you fail to realize the rich history behind them and the true impact that they did make in the literary scene, not only in their time, but now.
Exactly. So I think altogether this is an important discussion that we've had today, not only regarding the discourse, but also the celebration of these incredible authors. And I think now I think we can have, you know, a bit of questions if anybody has any. We can take some of those and kind of just, you know, anything related to sort of this topic, author connections, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah, absolutely. There's an opening for questions, or if you all just want to have a discussion in the live interaction chat, I am sure that everyone would be open to answering questions and just kind of talking. But I do completely agree that this was a very necessary discussion to, as Nick said, to kind of establish where we stand, and to establish what our content really should be, because we have a platform and we are going to use it, and I do completely stand by using platforms by any means necessary, and having discussions even if they are hard. So I appreciate everyone listening, and I appreciate everyone listening at a later date, and all of that. And, you know, now as we get into, like, the last 10 minutes or so, there is an opening for questions if anyone would like to ask them. You can ask them about literature itself. You can ask them about anything that we've kind of discussed today, or author connections, and we will answer to the best of our ability.
Someone had said, was Asagiri's intention to make a bunch of teenagers interested in literature? Well, I'd like to think that he did do so, even if he didn't intend it.
You know, because he's like such a great guy.
If that was the plan,
guy,
it definitely
truly
worked.
He's such a great person. And, you know, like, to see what he did, I truly admire him as a person as well. Like, to a level that I associate him as one of those people that I would just love to have a conversation with, like those authors. And I truly think that he is the type of person that would be met with such an utmost respect by some of those authors, to treating their legacy so delicately, and for having such an appreciation for literature that I find so interesting and just very similar to some of our own. And, you know, he's just a really great guy. And as we kind of talk about treating some of these people with respect, I think that it's important to note, and not get into it too deeply, but just noting that everyone should be as respectful to Asagiri as you would be to the face of some of these historic authors.
Definitely. Definitely, I agree with that.
Yeah, I would really love to understand this man's mind. He's really genius, in a sense. Like, and the way that he portrayed these authors, I really admire it. I think we can all agree that without Bungo Stray Dogs, a lot of us would not be here, like, right now, in the place that we are, listening to this podcast right now, because you know, it's more than just Bungo Stray Dogs. It's really just all of these authors and their works and their, because they've inspired us. They really have.
I hope you don't mind. I just want to get, like touch on the subject for a minute. It's honestly, like, really saddening to see, like, all the hate that he's getting right now. It just, like, in the manga panel, and, like, not manga panel, but, like, the manga itself. Like, I know on Twitter, we were getting into it earlier, he's getting, like, a lot of hate right now, and, like, people are just upset with him for maybe killing off a character, or not putting, like, having Chuya in right now. Like, he's getting so much hate, and it's, like, he's making what you guys want, like, the content. And I know none of you guys here have, like, contributed to the hate. It's just, like, I get really, like, upset by it, because at any moment, he could just say, hey, I don't want to publish this anymore, it's getting too much. And he could just stop. So, like, the unnecessary hate he's getting, and, like, he recently just lost, like, over, like, 4 million yen because of, like, profits with people selling, like, fake merch or, like, unallowed merch and stuff like that. It's just truly, like, saddening to see.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I covered on this earlier, and I was like, the way that you treat someone who provides the very thing that you hyperfixate on and consume is vile and disgusting. You treat him as if he's there just for your entertainment, completely regarding his feelings as a person. And this isn't the first time it's happened. Like, a couple months back, there was a whole situation where one of Asagiri's dear friends had passed away, and the people were treating him as if he was, his only purpose was to create content. And we really just want to show light on how treating these people, no matter what they do, is just gross. Like, no person deserves hate, as no person like Asagiri deserves hate, because his work is phenomenal. I really can't put it into words how much I respect the man and how much he treats these authors with the utmost respect by writing them beautifully into Bungo Stray Dogs. I really cannot phrase that correctly. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem in general how people treat big names, you know, celebrities, content creators, stuff like that online. And again, Kai said, you know, we know probably no one here and no one listening is actively contributing to that kind of thing. But I think it's important to remind everybody, you know, everybody you see online is a person. Everybody you see on TV, you know, in live action, not animated, is a real person. And when you say things, they can see them. And just be mindful, be respectful. You know, I think it's very common for people to forget about that, because a lot of the times we just think, you know, that person is on a screen, we're anonymous, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Please be kind, be respectful and mindful. That's all. Just be a good person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, like, as we just saw, and, you know, like, we said, you know, like, oh, you know, if you have any questions, like, let us know. And it was very refreshing to see that pretty much all of you said that, you know, like, you have no questions and we handled this extremely well. Because that means a lot to us as creators of this podcast. And, you know, we put a lot of work into it. And especially when it came around to the topic this week, we wanted to treat it with utmost respect. We wanted to treat it as delicately as possible to avoid, you know, stepping on any toes or making any comments that would be deemed inappropriate or offensive. You know, we really tried our best to make sure it aligned with our way of thinking the best possible way, and it would be conveyed appropriately. So to see everyone, you know, pretty much tell us that, you know, we did great and that, you know, you have no questions about really what we said, truly does mean a lot. You know, this did stray a bit from what the first two episodes of our podcast were really like. There wasn't as much audience interaction, and the times that we started were a bit thrown off. But, you know, you still all are listening now, no matter live or recorded later. And we truly do appreciate it. And I know that it's not just me saying that, and everyone else on this cast completely agrees with.
Yeah, this is a subject that we have to tread lightly on because it is history. And the last thing we want to do as people who appreciate these authors is disrespect them. And it's really beautiful to see people say that, oh, you handled this subject greatly, because it means a lot. It really does mean a lot to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree completely. It is really exciting to see so much positive feedback, especially since, you know, this episode obviously did not go the same as any other ones. There was a bit of issue. I must admit, today has been a bit of a rough day. Very stressful. My house lost power, and that the generator stopped working. That's why we're on so late. But I think that this episode did play out very well, and I think we got the message that we wanted to across. I really want to thank everybody for listening and contributing, because you guys are all part of this as well. And all this effort that we're putting in, it really feels like it's paying off, because it really is. And as much as we all, as a community, are like, so I just totally forgot my train of thought. Anyways, I personally, and as a creator, I really appreciate every one of you who listen to this and interact with us and contribute. So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I truly just want to tell you all thank you.
No words can really I can't really put into words how much I thank this audience and the podcast crew in general for just giving me this opportunity. And it really is beautiful seeing a community come together and equally admire all of these authors.
It really has been like, sorry, brain fog. I'm still in vaccine recovery process, so I cannot get my thoughts together properly, but it really has been, I say this all the time, it has been an incredible experience just being able to talk about this freely. And, you know, the rest of my castmates are super cool people. Everybody who listens are super cool people. And I just really love talking about these authors and researching their lives and stuff. Being able to talk about it with people.
Okay.
That's my sentimental message for today.
To kind of wrap this episode up, I do want to make sure everybody knows that we are going to be playing a little game after this is done as a sort of, you know, treat to everybody who, you know, had a stay so late to actually catch this podcast for any inconvenience and stuff, and also for me and the rest of the cast to kind of, you know, interact a little bit. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe Carl's outside my house. Anyways, so yeah, if you would like to stay a little bit later and, you know, kind of interact with us, get to know us a little bit more as people, you're welcome to. So that's gonna be a wrap for this episode. Yeah, again, thank you guys so much. I think this episode was really important, even if it didn't go the same way any other did. And yeah, so, well, I'll say goodbye for the, you know, recording guy, Craig, but we will be staying on, so you're welcome to stay. So yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys. Bye so much. Oh, thank you so much. Goodbye. Oh my God.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.